And so, consequently, you know, we've gone through and we've taken various aspects. We've looked at the at one place about the angels, and another one where we're thinking about the wise men and so on. Well, all that's apart. I was seeking the Lord's guidance, and I was drawn to this portion that Tom has read to us. After the baby was born and gone through the rituals that needed to be gone through, and he was taken to the temple, and he was presented in the temple there. He was 8 days old, and he was taken by his mother and his father, his earthly father, to the temple. And when he got there, he was met by an old gentleman named Simeon. We don't read a lot about Simeon. I think this is probably the only reference to him. But, you know, I was taken by what it said about this dear old man. He was righteous and devout and was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Yes, he was a man who was in tune with God, and he obviously had studied the Pentateuch and whatever they had to them, and he was aware that there was one coming who was to be the Saviour of the world, and he was waiting for this to happen. And we read that he received a revelation from the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had met the Lord Christ. We read that in verse 26 of the chapter that Tom read to us. And I was thinking about, you know, righteousness. These are concepts, words that we use regularly in our services, and the speakers speak about these things. So I thought I'd look up the meaning in my Bible dictionary, and it says righteousness. It's an attribute of God, part of his character, and in man it is the opposite of lawlessness. Yes, obviously, as I say, dear old Simeon was a man who was a righteous man, and he was a man who sought to live his life according to what God would have him do. And we read in 1 John 3 and verses 4 to 7, and I'll just read this. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness, which we've just alluded to. But you know that he appeared, that's the Lord Jesus, so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Not one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. And so it is that we were, it's true of this man, and it can be true of us, that we are righteous. When we've come to faith in the Lord Jesus, then that righteousness is imputed to us. We can only be made righteous through the grace of God. And it is through the death and the resurrection of Christ that it's been made possible for us to be brought into that position. And then it says that he was devout. So I looked up the word devout. And it said, having or showing deep religious feeling or commitment, earnest or sincere. You know, I often say when I'm speaking with fellow Christians and so on, that it seems to me that particularly since COVID, commitment is rare. You know, having been brought up in a Christian family from a little baby, obviously, both my parents were very keen Christians, and my dad led a small assembly with his brother. And so, you know, these things I've been nurtured in these things, as it were, throughout. And it seems that, you know, as I grew up, and others like me, you automatically, as you got into teenage years, you aspired to become a Sunday school teacher. And you aspire to other things, a youth leader and so on. And, you know, you could write your CV of these things, of the things that you've done over the years. And you've done them not because you wanted to be anything special, but it was just that it was the way, as a Christian, you wanted to share with, as a younger man, with young people. I don't do school these days because, you know, I feel that the, you know, 11-year-olds don't particularly want to see an old chap coming in and talking to them about it. There's younger people within the branch, so I don't need to do it. I do other things that the Lord lays on my heart to do as we seek to work with good news. And so it is that, you know, commitment, it seems, has been part of not just my life, but many people of my generation. We've committed, I'm happy to be committed. And yet it seems today, one of our speakers who comes, David Hopkins, he runs a small church down in, I can never remember the name of the place where he is down there, but way down in the south of Gloucestershire. And he's got a problem with what I've got, but mine's been attended to. But he's got atrial fibrillation in quite a serious way. And so he's been advised by his doctor and from the hospital that he should slow down, and that he should get people to help and take on responsibilities. And he's having real problems getting people to commit to do it. But, you know, it seems that here's a man we're talking about now, Simeon. He was very committed to his Lord, and so much so that God had promised him that he wouldn't see death till he'd seen the Lord Christ, the Lord Jesus, as a babe. And so we should be, as I was thinking of this, we should also be waiting eagerly and patiently for the return of Christ, for his bride, the Church Universal. And I know I am, and I trust that my congregation this morning are all the same, that we're looking forward to the Lord coming. You know, every time I sit down and watch the news at 10 o'clock at night, I think, you know, I often say to Jean, come Lord quickly. You know, when we see what's going on in this world, people being, you know, they're just cannon fodder, as we sometimes say. People being killed in and people just shooting people, stabbings that are taking place in our own country. And life, it seems, is of very little value. But one day, the Lord Jesus is coming, he's promised, and we look forward to it. And just as Simeon looked forward to the coming, the first coming of the Lord Jesus, so we should be looking for the coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride, the church universal. So Simeon, in verse 25, it says the comfort the Messiah would bring to his people at his coming. And I was reminded of those verses that we often read around this time. Isaiah 40, comfort for God's people, verses 1 to 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly, proclaim that hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid, and that she has received the Lord's hand done for all her sins. Yes, that's a promise, a clear promise in the Old Testament of this one who was coming, and who was Simeon was looking forward to seeing. And so it was a special revelation that he was given. And obvious it was, because, you know, say if we went to the Abbey or some of the larger churches of England, Holy Trinity, it's not an uncommon thing for people who don't necessarily attend church, bring a baby in to have it christened, as they call it, and so on. And so, you know, he could have been mistaken, but no, God had revealed it to him, and such was his close walk with him, and so it should be for us, isn't it? And in verse 28, where is it? And he says, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentile and for glory to your people Israel. Yes, he was... this was like a form of Magnificat, one of my concordances said. Like a psalm, and rather like the song that Hannah said when she realized that God had heard her prayer and that she was to have a son, who we know was Samuel. And so it was that this was this man who was walking closely with the Lord, and here he was, overjoyed at it. And I understand from reading upon some of the commentaries that this piece I've just read is what we call a nunc dimittis, something I've known of but didn't realise that was what it was until this week. And you now dismiss, he says, the nunc dimittis. And so Simeon was satisfied that he had seen God's means of salvation for all mankind. Yes, in verse 31, we are reminded of the sight that the salvation was for all people, and both Jew and Gentile. And one of books that I was reading pointed out the fact that Luke was not Jewish. Luke was a Gentile. I'm not too sure whether I was so aware of that fact, But they were saying that this is why they reckon that he made the point that the Gentiles were coming in. And how we can rejoice this morning that, you know, the Jews were God's chosen people. But we know that many of them have turned their back upon him, and they've, you know, they live in a slightly different way. God hasn't given up on them. When Christ died, he died for the sins of the world, not just for Jewish people, but for the world. And we Gentiles, we've been brought into that. And we can rejoice again at this Christmas time that that's where we are. So it's for all people. It says in verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And I was reminded of that verse in John 8 and verse 12, where the Lord Jesus is talking to the Jewish people. And he says, I am the light of the world. And we can rejoice in the knowledge of that too. Well, Joseph, Jesus' legal father, and Mary, they marveled at what was said about him. And it was a great insight for them. You know, we start to think about the fact. It's many of our speakers point out that, you know, Mary, a young girl, really, and so many of the commentaries bring this to our notice, and so she wouldn't have a lot of experience. Suddenly, she was visited by the angel, wasn't she? And she was told that she was to have this baby, and it was no ordinary baby. It was going to be the Son of God. But, you know, it must have been a hard thing to take in, because I think it was Tom said on Christmas morning that, you know, to have a baby outside of marriage, wedlock, was something that was really and truly frowned upon. And yet, this was God. I often quote from Isaiah that God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways. And so it was that this was what God chose. And of course, he spoke to Joseph. Joseph was going to do the right thing. He loved Mary, obviously, and he didn't want to see her disgraced and that. And he was going to put her away. It says divorced, because things were slightly different in those days, weren't they? The way they did things. But God said no. The angel said no. That he was to take her, and he was to marry her, and he was to be the legal father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this was a great insight for them. And then Simeon blessed them, and he pointed out that the child Jesus would be a blessing to those who will believe in him, and a curse to those who refuse his offer of salvation. So it is that we want that we rejoice this morning that the Lord Jesus came. The Lord Jesus lived as a boy. Must have been amazing child. We had our two grandchildren round the other day, and the little one, she is a handful to say the least. Doesn't do anything she's told, and you look at children like that, and you think about the Lord Jesus. He must have been like that. It must have been wonderful. But there we are. That's what he was. And he came that he might indeed be our Saviour. So the first reference in Luke to the suffering and death of Christ, he also indicated that Mary would suffer too. Because in verse 35, where is it? Verse 35, yeah. And he says that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And you know, when you think about it, when we, Easter time particularly, when we think about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells us, doesn't it, that Mary was one of the ones that was around the cross. I remember when I lost my sister that was next to me. She died of breast cancer at 36. And my old mum was a wonderful Christian lady, but she struggled with that. Because, you know, you don't expect to your children to go before you, do you? And here was Mary with this 33-year-old man that she'd brought up hanging on a cross. And I saw something the other day that Gene had the television on. I just happened to come into the lounge when it was on. And I think it was that old film Spartacus. I've never seen it through. But I just as I walked in the room, I think it was Spartacus, whoever it was hanging on a cross. And this was the norm for a normal way of dealing with people that they didn't want by the Romans. Very cruel thing. And yet Mary, she stood by the cross watching her son give his life. But we know that that was God's plan. And he knew it was God's plan because he is God. And so he was prepared to leave his father's side and come down and be born as this babe that we were thinking about. And so it was that Simeon rejoiced when he saw him. And once he'd seen him, he was ready to go. And I, at this Christmas time, as we've thought much about the Lord Jesus Christ again, that maybe we've had fresh thoughts about it as we've thought of it, and that truly it might draw us closer to him as we look forward to entering into the new year and in service for him. Right, so that's Simeon, and I hope that, you know, the few thoughts that came to me might be a blessing to you. Thank you. Right, Tom.